And that's why I am banned from ever going back to that ballpark. Oh, hey, welcome to the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby's going to share. This is a tough one. You know, we're going to talk about Auburn getting swept by Alabama over the weekend. If there's anybody to get swept by, that's probably the worst one, simply because of who they are, clearly. Not been a good sports year in general for Auburn versus Alabama. I think basketball got swept too, and then football lost to them. So you're 0-6 against your biggest rival. But you never got swept when you were at Auburn, did you, Sonny?
Nope. I don't think I got swept in my entire college career.
Ooh, I wish we had a producer. We could research that. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is Auburn loses game one on Friday, 11-1. It's a run rule loss. 3-2 on Saturday and 3-1 on Sunday.
Actually, I don't think I ever got swept in conference. I definitely got swept when we would go play like A&M in Florida when I was at Samford.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Your non-con stuff going up there. Are they still technically paycheck games? Like, I don't actually know. Are they paycheck games, or are they it's just whoever you can find to play in spring?
Well, I think those schools pay for those teams to come in and pay for the travel and everything and the food. So I think it's just you look at it as a free trip. I don't know if you're making money like the football teams make money to do that. I don't know if it's the same for baseball.
Yeah, I don't think you guys actually I don't think they make money, but to your point, I think it's like expense neutral because it's all covered by the home team.
Just a free basically just to even out.
There we go. But tough series, tough loss. And I'm trying to figure out what is more surprising to me. We're going to talk about all of it. I'm trying to figure out if it's more surprising to me that only 5 guys on the roster had hits over the weekend, or that of the 3 starters that you sent out there, the one who gave up the most runs was Jake Marciano. Because that I don't think I had that on my bingo card. And some of this was unearned, right? Like he gave up 4 runs in 5 2/3 innings on 6 hits and 2 walks, but only 2 of those runs were earned. You had Petrovic in game 3, 1 run on 3 hits and 5 innings. Jackson Sanders, 1 earned run, 2 runs on 7 hits and 5 innings in game 2. I guess let's start with the offense, because I don't think we're worried long-term about the pitching staff. We'll get there. Let's start with the offense, though. It just... from the outside, right? I didn't make the trip to Tuscaloosa. Watching from home, I really wasn't thrilled, I guess, with the quality of the at-bats until we got kind of like late in game 2. And I don't necessarily know what was the vibe like for the guys in the dugout in the moment. Like, I don't know, because this is a pretty well-prepared team for just about every matchup, and it felt like the at-bats were just not the quality they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, going back to like Texas weekend, we had, you know, we weren't swinging the bat as well as we could have, but we were still making at bats and walking and getting hit by pitch, and we were causing havoc that way.
Running counts up and
This was really the first weekend when we saw a team not do that, not give us the free pass, and not allow us to get those timely hits. Because beyond Friday, Saturday and Sunday's at bats were way better, but we just were hitting balls right at people.
Yeah,
and it just. You know, baseball is baseball. Sometimes that's how it's going to go. Sometimes the whole team's going to be locked in, and sometimes the whole team just isn't locked in. But it's not that they're not locked in. It just doesn't. It's just how baseball is. It's hard. It's a hard, hard game.
Yeah. And I did notice that it felt like a lot of guys were getting on base. I mean, we drew 12 walks on the weekend, and some of them, like Bristol Carter, he didn't have a hit, but he drew 3 walks, so he was on base. He was able to steal twice. I think he had two sacrifices, if I remember right.
Yes.
You know, scored a couple runs. Like, he was doing his part, but at a certain point, if only 5 guys are getting hits, there's only so much you can do, and ultimately ended up resulting in 4 runs on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. And I think I think we were 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position.
Oh,
so that I think we got the leadoff man on a bunch of times, and just it seemed like we would get the leadoff man on and then strike out double play, or leadoff man on, you know, fly out, and then we'd hit a line drive and somebody to catch it. And it was just kind of a broken record for the weekend.
Yeah. And it's I feel like you can overcome one of the issues. You can't overcome both, right? Like you can't overcome when you make quality contact, you're hitting it right at guys, but you're also, you know, not making a ton of contact and you're striking out too much. And
yeah.
It's you can do one or the other and still win. You can't do both.
Yes. There's that aspect too of, yes, when we do hit it, it's hit hard, but it's like, we just got to hit it more in the right spots. It's just got to be a better approach, I guess, with the guys to be like, take it personal.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this guy in. I'm going to get him over or something of that nature.
On that note, this is something that I have conversations with a lot with, I've had them with Braves fans talking about the home run heavy approach they had in previous seasons. As a hitter, how fine can you decide where to hit the ball? Like, is it something where you're shooting for, hey, I'm going to try to get it to the opposite field? Or are you saying like, I'm going to try to hit it, you know, in the hole between these two guys? Like how finely tuned can you realistically expect to hit a spot if you're trying to put a ball somewhere?
Yeah. You know, all hitters are different, but when I was up to bat, if I had anybody on first base, period, less than two outs, I was trying everything I could to just not hit it on the ground. Because it's automatic double play. And so everything that I did, everything I thought was just no double play, just keep it up. And then with a runner on second, nobody on first, all I was trying to do was just get him to third any way possible or get him in.
So something's at the right side. It's like hit it to the right side so that he can get to third. And they throw me out, they throw me out. Okay.
Yes, and our guys, that's what they're taught and that's what they believe and that's what they know. You know, hitting's just hard sometimes. Yeah. It is what it is. You get in a funk and it happens.
I maintain, I think the single hardest thing to do in professional sports is to consistently hit a baseball. Hockey goalies are probably right up there, but even then, like their success rate is like 970 or something. In baseball, you're a general, like you're one of the best hitters in the league if you can hit it 3 times out of 10. So,
and now it's turning out to be like, if you hit it 25 out of 100 times, you're turning to be an all-star now.
Yeah. So like it's
changing.
It's getting harder and harder, but You touched on something there I want to kind of get to. You mentioned you get into a funk sometimes. I noticed that I'm not part of the coaching staff, clearly, that Auburn made some lineup changes in this series. And it felt like, from the outside, it felt like some of that was, let's try something new. Let's try to see if we can get, you know, a different bat in there, somebody who hasn't struggled on the weekend. And some of it was maybe let's get this guy out of there because they've had some prolonged struggle. How much do you think was trying to give guys a mental break and how much of it was let's just try something different and see if we can find something that works?
I think it comes down to got to find something that works because all these games matter so much. You know, I think the Tuesdays is where you give the mental breaks. But the weekends is where you just got to, all right, whoever's ready to go, let's go. And that's a good thing to have too, because if you just stuck with eight guys in your lineup that aren't playing, you know, we got a good problem. We have six guys on the bench who can come in and play. So
yeah,
a lot of teams don't have that, which is – I think that's why you see the in and out, because we're just trying to find something.
Yeah, trying to play around with the lineup. I actually was kind of doing something like that with somebody else, talking about like, all right, well – I think Logan Gregorio can play the outfield. So you could do something with like, you know, him at the 7 and like just try to figure out the different options. Like he could be in left and try to figure out like how to make a, you know, now that Eddie Madrigal's back and he can play first and he can DH, trying to play around with the lineup and figure out. It's like, all right, can Ethan Bingaman play left? You know, I know he's been at first a lot. And I think that's, for some reason, I thought it was going to get easier by now. I thought it was going to get easier for the coaching staff to figure out who to play, and it just hasn't gotten there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. This game's hard, right? You know, I wish all of our hitters could be the best hitters on the planet and hit 350 every day. But in reality, that's not going to happen. And, you know, this game's hard. SEC's hard. They know that. And I think all the guys who aren't playing every day, they're doing a good job of staying locked in. Because that's what they have to do. Their name going to be called any second.
And I know that you've never really had that situation where you weren't playing every day. Yeah. But for those, like, how during the game, if you're not in the lineup, but you could be called on the pinch hit in the 7th or something, like, and especially at home, where the hitting lab is out past right field. You can't really walk out there and take hacks during the game. Like in an MLB team, you can walk down to the clubhouse. How do you stay locked, or how do guys stay locked in during the game to pinch hit in the seventh and not just be embarrassed up there?
Yeah, that's definitely something different than the big leagues and the minor leagues. There's always a cage close by or a tee that you can access. You can't really access our cage. It's out in the right field. But what guys do, they just go in behind the dugout and be just – I'd say like by the fifth inning, guys are back there riding a bike, stretching, rolling out, just swinging a little bit, staying loose, which is great. That's how you – because even if they aren't nine times out of ten, they're not coming in. But they're ready just in case, which is great.
They're preparing as if they are. And then I hear this a lot too, the mental reps, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, watching from the dugout, whether you're charting or you're just, you know, you're just watching. How much of that legitimately helps versus doing your work before the series on, here's the relievers I might face, here's the scouting report we have on these guys? Like, can you get something in game where you feel better about your at bat, or is it just timing?
You know, I was never the one to be able to do that because I was always like, you know, I got what I got for the day.
Right.
And I got to kind of go from there. But no, like all the visualization and mental reps, that's got to happen. You know, if guys aren't doing that, then they're behind. If you're not envisioning yourself hitting a home run every at bat or something off the pitcher, then that's, I guess, your problem. Mm-hmm. And I think our guys do have a good a good visualization of what's coming and what to do. And, you know, it's good preparation, but, you know, sometimes this game just mean. It's like standing there and you putting a 3-foot putt that you're supposed to make every time and you miss it 7 times out of 10. It's hard.
I know all about missing the putts. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but maybe I have the wrong type of putter, like I'm using a blade or something.
Yeah,
but
for some reason,
the lefty putting over here does not work out well for me. You know, like I'm great to get us onto the green, and then when you're on the green, I'm just like, I don't know what's wrong here. But okay, I guess last thing about the position players on this series before we go to break, Chase Fralick. 4-for-10 in the series. And if I have this right, I think he's either gotten on base or gotten a hit in all but one game of, so he's reached base in all but one game of the season. Doing that and also being in every single game. I know he usually plays, you know, first once a week or so because of Lucas Steele catching Petro, but have you ever been on a team that didn't have like that keystone guy at catcher? And like, how much harder is it when you don't have that guy?
Yeah. I mean, that's like butter. Like if your catcher's hitting, see, your catcher either has to be a really good hitter or a really good defender. And
you had Nate LaRue and he was a great defender.
Yes, he was an incredible defender and he could hit home run and he could hit the home run.
Yeah.
He could lay a bunt down too. So he was good in the back half of the order, but Chase is a great 3-hole. And he's a good defender as well, but obviously he's not no Nate LaRue.
Yeah.
Nate had
And then at first base, he's teach. No Sonny DeShera when he covers first base.
No, nobody he's no is. Cooper, he's no Cooper McMurray over there.
There you go.
That's the good thing about Chase. You can throw him at third, you can throw him at first, and he's going to play it to a high level. It's like he's just a good player, and he's your guy. He's got to be the guy that shows up every weekend, just like he continues to do.
I think what surprises me the most about watching him catch and play first is the athleticism. It's that it has to be that tennis background, that short, that I say short range, that kind of quick twitch movement side to side, that lateral movement from tennis feels like it really shows up, as well as his ability to, like, you know, snag a wild pitch on the backhand or something.
Yep.
Comes up a lot from a tennis, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I see him do so many things and I try to think about tennis stuff when I watch him do stuff, and it's just because in tennis I feel like your attention to detail has to be even more than in baseball, and I just see how he does things. His first step, quick step, is unbelievable. He might not be the fastest, you know, past his first few steps, but I bet you he's the fastest off the block like that.
Yeah, first 4 or 5 steps, he's probably one of the fastest on the team just because that's the tennis in there. 100%. And then once guys get up to speed, they're passing him, but he's got that initial jump. Fun fact, back when I played tennis a ton, I used to play tennis actually with my dentist, and he was a former minor league pitcher. And so his tennis serve was a pitcher's windup. Like he had the leg kick and everything. And then instead of pitching, he would toss the ball and like the instead of like that was how he hit it.
That's crazy.
But he was just nailing aces all the time though, yeah. because he had a pitcher's mentality behind serving, complete with the windup and everything. It was hilarious.
That's unbelievable.
It was the hardest serve to try to return that I ever had to deal with. So that was always kind of fun. Total crossover. Yeah. The way the sports cross over, like how a lot of baseball players are golfers, because it's same idea as hitting, you just hit down there instead of up here.
Exactly. 100%.
All right. In just a second, let's talk about the pitching, and then let's get to Georgia Tech, because I think this could be a rebound. We saw a little bit of a different pitching staff for tonight. We'll talk about that next right here on the Barn Baseball Show. Welcome back to the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby, Sonny DeShera. Brad Law said he's sorry he couldn't make it. We should be back later this week for a preview of this weekend. But before we get there, Georgia Tech tonight, and the Tigers are going with something a little bit different. We've got Christian Chatterton on the mound tonight. He is 2-0 in the season, 2.84 ERA. And I'm trying to figure out how much of this is because it's an earlier series on the weekend. You have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you're moving Alvarez to Thursday, keeping Marciano on Friday, and then pushing Petro up a day to Saturday. How much of Chatterton starting tonight is that? And how much of it is the fact that in three career appearances versus Tech, he has 2 runs on 3 hits and 12 strikeouts in 9 innings? Like, he's been successful against them.
Yeah.
But also the weekend schedule lined up where I feel like you kind of had to, he was the obvious guy you had to go to if you move Alvarez up.
Yeah. I mean, I think it all has to do with the Thursday, Friday, Saturday going. And I don't know how long Chatterton's going tonight. I don't know the plan. If I had to guess, he's going to be a 2-3-inning guy because Thursday, Friday, Saturday is short rest for everybody.
Yeah.
And,
you don't want to, you want everybody to be available if you need them over the weekend.
Yeah. Like, say if Petro's still throwing Saturday, I don't know if he can make the full start because it's a day short. Nobody knows how the body's going to feel. And that goes with all 3 starters.
Yeah.
So it's definitely definitely all hands on deck this weekend type of thing.
Yeah. And this is, it's wild to me. Like, this is the middle of a stretch of 31 out of 34 games against ranked opponents. And it just kind of feels like there's no break. You come off a sweep against a ranked Alabama team, you get swept. And it's like, hey, we don't get something easy to kind of rebound. We got to go to Georgia Tech, to their tiny ballpark, and face a top 5 team. What is this? I think this is the sixth game of the season against a top 10 team, but they are number three. So they're a top 5 team.
Yeah.
It's a national broadcast. Do the guys pay attention to that? Like, hey, this is not a streaming. This is on national TV, or is it just one of those ball is ball, you play ball no matter what?
Yeah, it's just one of those, like, I don't think anybody's – I don't even think the guys knew that we were supposed to play at 6 o'clock tonight. They moved it to 7 because it's a TV game. They didn't even know that.
Oh, I didn't even realize that either. No.
Exactly.
That'll do. I didn't realize it either. Yeah. There you go. They moved it for TV. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. You said that midweek's kind of where, like, you like to give the mental breaks, or, like, that's where you would give a mental break to a guy who's been struggling. Can you do that when you face a team like Georgia Tech? Or is it one of those, like, we want to win the midweek? We have a great record in the midweek. We've been 5-1 in midweeks. But getting this guy a rest so that he's ready for the weekend is more important. And if we have to run out a suboptimal lineup on Tuesday to get a guy back for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we'll do it.
You know, I know it's
not your decision, and we're not criticizing if they do run a different lineup tonight. I want to make that clear, but just try to get your thoughts on the situation.
You know, if a guy's truly, really struggling and you know, they had yesterday off, which is great.
Completely off, which I think was smart.
Yes. Well, we didn't have – we practiced, but we didn't play. Yeah. But, you know, they should be able to have that mental break day. Mm-hmm. But if they really just needed a break, it'd have to be a thing where – a player came and talked to a coach about it type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that, especially when you're playing Georgia Tech in the midweek, mm-hmm. And we're trying to, because winning, obviously, you know, the RPI, even though that we're just playing them is great, but beating them would make the RPI even better because of this past weekend.
Yeah.
Beating them on the road just because this past weekend would make it even better. So, you know, it's definitely going to be, like, not saying anything against a lesser school, but, you know, we're going to try to win this for sure.
Yeah. And so everybody knows, Auburn is number four in RPI right now, even after the weekend. Strength of schedule is number one. And non-conference RPI is number two. And you typically see things like that with lower division opponents. Like number one non-conference RPI is Southern Miss. And their non-conference strength of schedule is number five. Auburn's non-conference strength of schedule is number nine. You typically don't see the out-of-conference strength of schedule be really good for teams like the SEC because you play so many hard teams in the SEC. But in this case, Auburn absolutely is doing that. Is it funny, or I guess how do we feel about the fact that Alabama is behind Auburn in RPI even after sweeping Auburn? Maybe because it was at home.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. What are they at home?
They're at seven. Six. We're six. At four. They're at six. They're not very far behind us, but it's just kind of funny to me. It's like, well, I think part of it too is their schedule. Their non-conference strength of schedule is 91st in the country. Like, well, they're one of the schools that didn't get challenged non-conference, right? Mm-hmm. Mississippi State's was 104, right? Whereas Auburn's non-conference strength of schedule was number nine. Is there ever a time as a baseball player when you're like, can we just get like an easy game every now and then? Or is it one of those you want these hard games every single time because it makes you lock in?
Well, especially now with how much weight they put on the dang RPI. Like,
yeah, true.
It's kind of, I mean, you can be ranked 16th at the end of the season, but if your RPI is top five, you're going to be a national seed somehow.
Yeah.
Like, just blows my mind.
Yeah. It's like how much weight they give to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I mean, if UAB keeps doing well and Jacksonville State is ranked now, if they keep doing well, that just helps us out in our midweeks as well. It's even tougher games.
On another note for Georgia Tech, how much can you take away from a start you had, or I guess a game you had against them a couple weeks ago? This was March 17th you played them. Is it something where like you're just fundamentally the same team, you have to adjust to the same to different pitchers, or is this one of those like, hey, 2 weeks later, these guys are different hitters than they were 2 weeks ago and stuff like that? Like, how much can you take away from the last game you played against them?
You know, it's hard because that day our pitchers just shoved it up. Like, they just had no chance.
Finish that sentence, Sonny. Finish that sentence. They shoved it. Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's hard. Like, I think because Georgia Tech, that's been their only day they haven't hit the baseball. Like, literally, they've hit the ball every single day except for that one.
Yeah, they had three hits in the entire game, and both Drew Burris and Von Lackey were held hitless, which I don't think has happened again this season.
Literally. Like, it's – so, you know, but we obviously know how to pitch to them. We know how to get them out. So if we can stick to that, I think we're not going to have a problem. We just got to, because their pitching staff doesn't even rival the SEC staff on their midweek at all.
Yeah.
And so we saw that.
I actually think they have a freshman lefty, Cooper Underwood, going.
Oh, they're starting a different guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Starting a different guy, not the Dimitri Angelos, but a freshman lefty. And to our point, Auburn's also starting somebody different, who does different things than Andreas Alvarez. Still has the alliteration, but does some different stuff there. I was asked this on a radio thing last week. Do the guys, I know that they're aware of like some of the rankings and things like that, but does it ever come up in the pregame, the postgame, the clubhouse, whatever, about like, hey, we should move up, we should move down? Or is it just one of those like they know it and they just don't really care?
I think it's just don't care. Like, they didn't care when they were ranked number five or whatever it was. That nobody really paid attention to it, which is good. You shouldn't, because if the second you start thinking you're that good, you're going to be bad.
And then obviously RPI is what matters anyway, not rankings. Yeah, we don't put RPI next to your name, so.
Yeah, that's what they should be posting, is RPI, not ranking, because it doesn't matter.
Go. I mean, Auburn would still be top five in the country either way, so there you go. But, okay, so come off the sweep, Georgia Tech tonight, then Arkansas this weekend. I know obviously for pitching, the short week matters. What about for the position players, right? When you play on Sunday, you got to bus home. You play on, you play on Tuesday, you have to bus home after the game late at night, and then you play on Thursday. What does that do for the position players as far as preparation? Like, do you just have to spend more work on your body? Is there less that you can actually get done because of the short week, or like what changes for you on a short week?
I mean, nothing too drastic, I don't think, but the guys who get in and get their recovery stuff in are still going to be able to get it in.
Right.
But it's just, they got to look at it as like, okay, next week's an extra, you get an extra day off next week, basically.
You get Sunday. Yeah. You get an extra day there.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just a matter of who's, you know, taking care of their body and who's not, if they're going to feel good. But I don't think it's going to be too bad.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. And to me, it felt like, hey, all the time on the bus and things like that, like you can get your film study in, you can, you know, you can read scouting reports and all that stuff. I assumed it was more like the physical stuff. It was like, hey, if you've been banged, like if you're a guy that's banged up, can you get out there? Can you do some of that
stuff? And then I think it's just still looking at it as like, you know, it's just one less day. So I think if anybody's sore, it could be Eddie Madrigal, because he played his first games this weekend.
I actually was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Kind of to close this out, as a really good defensive first baseman, how did you feel he did, you know, this weekend as far as moving around and all the stuff that he needs to do to be in the lineup and the field going forward?
Yeah. I mean, he looked fine. I think he's still, you know, he's 6-7 months out from a ACL.
Yeah.
So it's not going to look pretty, but I think he feels better every day he gets out there. He's just got to get more comfortable, but he looks good. I mean, he's got 4 years of college under his belt. He knows what he's got to do to be good.
Yeah. It's not like he's learning first base kind of on the fly. Yeah. He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
Outside of the physical stuff with, you know, with the knee and everything, like, how do you think his swing has looked? Like, is this version of Eddie Madrigal that we have now? It's obviously not what you were expecting given the injury, but like, is this good enough, or is there another step he needs to take for Auburn to really get the Eddie Madrigal experience?
Yeah, I think it's close. He's probably got 25 at-bats, you know, including games and lives and everything from like a month ago when he could start doing that. So I think he's already up there hitting the ball hard. Obviously, last year he hit a bunch of homers.
Yeah.
And that comes with just feeling good and just having a good plan at the plate, which he does have. So it's just a matter of him getting more reps in. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he's up there hitting line drives, I think it's great. You don't want anything more than that.
Yeah. I've always said, like, you get the home runs when you're not trying to hit home runs, right? You're just trying to make solid contact, get the ball in the air, with line drive, whatever, and that's when they go out. Speaking of, tiny ballpark tonight. So, you know, Georgia Tech's ballpark is, if I remember right, I pulled all the park factors for the ACC. It's one of the most offensive-friendly ballparks in the ACC. So over under on number of home runs, I'm going to give you a line of 2.5 from the Tigers tonight. You think they hit more or less than that in home runs?
It 7.5, just so we can strive for it.
It's like, hey guys, I went on a show today and said you guys were going to hit 7 home runs. So just heads up, you have a lot of work to do tonight. You have I need a home run in an inning, or else I'm going to look bad.
Yeah, seriously.
On my show.
You know, if we just hit the ball high enough in the air, or like, you know, far enough in the air, we can hit it 350 feet. But at that part, it's going to blow out. So it just got to put a good swing on it.
There you go.
That part's a joke.
Yeah, it's tiny. Yes. All right. That'll be, again, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Central is game time on ESPN2, according to the Auburn baseball website. Christian Chatterton on the mound, so we can save Andreas Alvarez for Thursday. We will be back later this week with another episode of the Barn Baseball Show, probably previewing Arkansas and hopefully talking about another midweek win. The Tigers only have one loss in the midweek coming to Cincinnati, so we want to keep that going. Again, they beat Georgia Tech on St. Patrick's Day 9-2 at home. For Sonny DeShera, I'm Lindsey Crosby. This has been the Barn Baseball Show.